Father, how grateful we are for the Bibles that we hold in our hands. God, that we don't have to try to figure out this thing called life or even Christianity without instructions. For the Word of God instructs us in righteousness. We would not be able to figure out these truths apart from your Word. And yes, you've given us your Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us. But we pray as we study the Word today that the Holy Spirit would enlighten the Scriptures to us. That we would be more than just knowers of the Word, that we would be doers of the Word. Active, participating in the things that you want to do. And so for that reason, we come to you with open Bibles, open hearts, open minds, and open eyes, that we would see, God, what you are doing and get involved. So we ask your blessing upon this time. We ask you, God, to bind the enemy and any distractions from this time. That we would just walk away from being here today, knowing we've spent time with the Creator of the universe and our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6 of Hebrews contains probably the most difficult passage in all the Bible, if not, definitely within the New Testament. There are many, we're only going to look at the first 8 verses this morning, there are many interpretations, there are many opinions, there are many commentators, very wise men and women, that fall on all kinds of sides of what is happening here in chapter 6. So I stand before you humbly and say I have my opinion. I'm okay to be wrong. God is always right. But I also want to encourage us all that, as I said in my prayer, we have the Holy Spirit. And so we want to all ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us truth, to reveal to us what is it you are saying in the Word of God. And I will give you the interpretations. I will give you some of the things that are more of the popular interpretations of this area of Scripture. I will give you my opinion of it as well. But I encourage you to have your own opinion. And not so that we can argue about it. Amen? Not so that we can say, hey, you're on that side, I'm on this side, so we can't fellowship. No. This is a very difficult area of Scripture to fully understand what the writer means. And sometimes we have to come away from our Bibles going, we'll figure it out when we get there. All right? You know, maybe this will be something, there's going to be a Hebrews 6 meeting in heaven. You know, come over here, I'm going to explain to you what exactly I meant when I was saying those things. But let's realize there's a totality of the Bible that we hold in our hands, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. See, there is an encouragement here, and certainly we've been seeing it in the last few chapters of Hebrews, those challenges, those reminders, those cautions, those warnings, if you will. Be careful if you do this. Be careful if you respond like this. Be careful if this is how you are, because there's dangers ahead. And so for us, we need to look at the Scriptures this morning and go, let's make sure we get the warning. Let's make sure we get the signs. Let's make sure we're ready to receive what God has for us. See, what we're talking about here generally in this chapter is moving on. We've been talking about in last chapter, last study, we talked about, the writer said how important it was to move from the milk of the Word and to get into the meat of the Word. What he means there is move away from the elementary Christianity 101 types things, move on to the things that are more important, more sound in doctrine. Grow in the Lord. And that's what we're going to see this morning in this area of Scripture, is that there's a motivation for us to move on. Get out of where you're at. Grow in the Lord. Blossom where you are. Don't stay in that place. And for all of us, there is a season, and I don't know if we could chart our walks with the Lord, and maybe when we got saved, man, we were on fire, we were growing, we were going to Bible studies, we came to church on time before worship started, a little dig there, and it's like, gosh, you know, it's like we were excited for God, and then as time goes on, our humanness begins to show up again, doesn't it? Well, I'm just a little tired to go to church today. Well, I'm a little tired to read my Bible today. Well, and we take off like this, and then the chart kind of just either plateaus or even starts to drop. And what happens is we go, you know, I wish I could get back to those exciting days with the Lord. I wish I could get back to those times when God was speaking to me and God was showing me things and I was growing in the Lord. You were a sponge soaking up everything that the Spirit was speaking to you. But now you've gotten to that place of, I know that. Oh, I know that. You maybe read your devotions. You read the scripture. Oh, I know what they're going to say. Is that the heart? Or is it reading and going, oh, I know this. Let me see what the commentator has to say. Let me see what my time of devotion is going to be. Let me see what God's going to reveal to me. Even if it's a scripture that you know and know by heart. And that, listen, don't let it become dull. You know, that's what we saw in the last chapter. You've become dull of hearing. Okay, to me, that's like ringing a bell. Stop being dull of hearing. Don't be that person that says, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm going to skip over that. See, that's what I love about Calvary Chapels, at least the Calvary Chapels that I've been involved in, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Because let me tell you, Pastor Rob or Rob Taylor would skip chapter 6. We go right to chapter 7. Talk about Melchizedek. That's unbelievably an easier topic. No, we're going to talk today about moving beyond the basics. Moving beyond the basics. And don't, some of you probably saying, well, I've been a Christian for 20-something years. I'm well beyond the basics. Careful. Careful. God can always teach you something. Amen? Amen? God can always teach you, and I don't, we shouldn't even say can. God will always teach you something if you're listening. What did Jesus say in the book of Revelation? If you have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit says. And so let's pray that we have ears this morning. We're going to look at just two things because we're going to partake of communion, but two things about moving beyond the basics. So let's jump right in. Verse 1, chapter 6, we'll read the first three verses. Pause right there and look at our first point. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. Give me your attention, number one, and I want this one to be strong. First thing we got to do about moving beyond the basics is grow up. Grow up. And I'm talking about growing up in the Lord, being mature in the Lord. Growing up in the Lord, moving on in the Lord, leaving the elementary teachings. That's what the writer says. Now, if you were here last week, it's interesting that the writer said, listen, you're dull of hearing. You should be teachers by now, but you can't even handle those things because you're still working on the elementary things. But notice the writer doesn't go back and start teaching those elementary things. He just basically says, stop with the elementary things and move on. Progress. Get beyond. Listen, I believe there is such a need for mature Christians in the church today. I've talked to several pastors and even some very mature Christians. It's like, you know, it seems like there's going to be a very small remnant of strong believers in the end days. A very small remnant. See, the churches are full. There's big churches, tens of thousands of people that attend. But how many of them are so committed to Jesus Christ that they're unstoppable. That, like the early apostles, after Jesus left and gave them the Holy Spirit, these guys were unstoppable. These guys were on fire for God. They didn't care if they were thrown in prison. They didn't care if they were flogged. They didn't care what. They were just on fire to teach the gospel. Where's the church today that's like that? Where's the church today that gets up above the silly, messy basics of Christianity? The things that just get in our way. Listen, here's a strong truth, and you've heard it from me before. Either you are growing up in the Lord, or you are slowing down in the Lord. There is no neutral. There is no coast. There is no, I've got it, and I'm chilling. You're either growing stronger and mightier in God, or you're getting weaker and weaker. So which is it? What's the direction you're doing? Where are you going? Are you grasping the totality of, the Bible tells us, the abundant life of Christianity? Are you tapping into the abundant life? And please don't, I just heard it in my head. It's like, well, I'm waiting for God to give me that abundant life. No, you got to go out and get the abundant life. You got to go out and embrace the abundant life. Paul got out there, certainly got scuffed up along the way, but he got out there and he looked at the life that God used in him. The God revealed in him. So either you're growing up in the Lord or you're slowing down in the Lord. There is no coasting. And in fact, Galatians 5:17 comes after one of my favorite verses, but it goes on to say this. It'll be overhead. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. Do you see coasting in there? It's either growing in the spirit or you're growing in the flesh. One of the two. And when we grow in the flesh, we're basically just becoming weaker in the spirit. Again, that verse, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You know why there's that turmoil in your heart? You know why there's that struggle in your heart? Because your spirit is fighting your flesh and your flesh is fighting your spirit. The danger comes when the spirit is so weak that the flesh takes over and you're thinking you're doing okay. That's the danger. That's the danger of Christians that get into that place that are doing what they want to do, but they're also thinking that that's what God wants them to do. Because they've convinced themselves that they're righteous. They've convinced themselves that they're right. No, 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 no. Let's make sure we find our place and be in that place to grow in the Lord. And listen, we cannot determine someone else's growth. We cannot dictate someone else's growth in the Lord. We can certainly encourage, we can certainly do our part to help and motivate, but everybody grows in the Lord differently. I know people that grow in the Lord so quickly. They read something, they've got it, they have it, they own it, and that's a part of it. Other people, they struggle with that, trying to figure it out. So we can't dictate that. He says in verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to perfection. God wants you to be perfect. God wants you to be perfect, and don't get discouraged. He's given you the ability to be perfect, because if you circle that word perfect and write it along inside your Bibles, it means be mature. Be mature. Turn to your neighbor and says, I'm moving on to maturity. It shouldn't take you that long. Group participation. That's what I like. Moving on to maturity. You have to set it in your mind. You have to determine it in your heart that I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do everything that I can do to put myself in the place of growing in God. You just can't expect it to just come upon you. You've got to participate. You've got to engage in it. Does it mean going to church more? Does it mean to go to Bible studies more? Does it mean to read your Bible more? Does it mean to pray more? Does it mean to be in fellowship more? Yeah. But those things... Caught, gotcha. But those things cannot, listen, they cannot be forced. They should be a joy. You should not go, oh, it's Sunday morning, I have to go to church. You should, it's Sunday morning, I get to go to church. Honestly, guys, as Krista has said, there is a heaviness, there is a weight because some things have happened at the church this week that have been very hard to take, very hard to hear, very hard. But you know what? God's in control. And if we get our eyes on the circumstances, the situation, we are going to feel down. We are going to be discouraged. But if we keep our eyes on God, then we're going to say, God, you're better than this. You're greater than this. You're higher than that. 2 Timothy chapter, gosh, I always forget the exact verse. I think it's 5 and 16 or 17. And Paul says, all forsook me. None stood by me. Let it not be accounted to them. And then the next verse goes, but the Lord stood with me. That has been one of my, and I probably have a lot of life verses, but that's been one of my life verses. When I feel myself being hurt, when I feel myself being discouraged by someone, I immediately have to go, I love this person and they're hurting me. I still want to love this person. I want to keep my eyes on God. Because he will never hurt me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He's always going to be my strength. That, my friends, is maturity. It's not pointing finger, oh, that bad person, oh, they don't like me anymore. It's not doing that. And some of the closest people in your life may be the people that hurt you the most. But that does not mean we abandon fellowship. No, staying in church, staying in fellowship, staying in Bible study, staying in prayer, staying in your word are going to be those things that keep you focused on God and help you get through those tough things, growing on, moving on to maturity. Why is it so important to be mature, you ask? Well, it depends on how important it is to you to be a strong and confident person. How important it is for you to let life come at you and you're ready for it. How important is it for that? Well, that's what really the writer of Hebrews is saying. Be strong. Move on from these basic things. Move on to maturity, because there's going to be tough times are coming. You can be assured of it. How important it is for you to move on from a petty issue in your life, to stop focusing on things people are doing to you, and to get your attention upon the Lord. Because here's what happens. Somebody hurts you, and you call somebody else and tell them, they hurt me. They shouldn't have done that. Don't you agree with me? You're looking for people to agree with you to make you feel better. Where really, honestly, the one who knows best is God. He knows what's going on in their heart. He knows what's going on in your heart. And so you take that to the Lord. Say, Lord, man, that really hurt. That is really disappointing. I can't believe this is happening. And a lot of times, it's even family that does this. You know, you can get rid of your friends, but it's hard to get rid of your family. And I know some of you are trying. And you can move as far as you want or what you can. You're still family. And you know it's no different in the family of God. We can leave churches. We can move on to other churches. We can move to other states. But we're still the family of God. And I've said it to you before because I think about it all the time. Those people in heaven that we don't want to be around anymore, we're going to have to be around. I don't think there's sections in church. Okay, these are the people that like each other over here. These are other people. No. We're going to have to face-to-face with that person. Oh, you're here. So my suggestion to us is to deal with that now. So that when we get there, we go, you're here. Praise God. You're here. Deal with it in our hearts, guys. Again, verse 1 and 2. And I want to go through these relatively quickly because it's not really that important what exactly is being said here other than the heart of it. He says right here, he says in the second half of verse 1, not laying again the foundation. Okay, not laying again the basic principles of Christianity. I mean, if we're still dealing with, am I saved or am I not? That should be settled. Do I put my faith in trusting Jesus Christ? Do I try to be obedient to him? Do I constantly seek after his heart? You're saved, okay? Do you love Jesus? Do you love God? Yes, you're saved. That should be, so move on from those things. And he goes on, moving on from the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Now, let me just again remind us, we've been doing this almost every chapter, who's the writer writing to? Hebrew Christians, Hebrew believers. What this area is talking about is their Judaism, is their tradition, is their old habits. And he's saying, move on from the foundation of repentance from dead works. Don't you think Jesus was very forward to the religious leaders in his day? You know, I mean, he called them brood of vipers. He called them stiff-necked. Why? Because of their religion. They had dead works. They were doing things that they thought were accounting as righteousness. And there are things that we do because of the righteousness of God. You hear me? There's things that you do because of the righteousness of God in your life. It's not you're doing these things so that you can get the righteousness. Does it make sense? So he's saying move on from the foundation of repentance from dead works. Move on from the dead works. Move on from the things that you do. Do those things because of God's love. Don't do those things to think you are receiving God's love and of faith towards God. Faith towards God should be something that just is natural. It's just an overflow of your confidence in Christ, right? That's why this, well, it's not there. But that's why our motivation at this church is to encourage believers to engage their faith. I want you to engage your faith on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and Friday. I want your faith to be so strong that you and God can handle any situation that comes on in your life. And so we got to move on from our faith. I have faith in God. I believe God can do anything. It should be settled. It shouldn't be it's a foundational truth, but it's not something that we should constantly be reminding each other about. I am amazed at how many Christians lack faith. I mean, I can understand doubt to some circumstances, but never lessen your faith in how great God is. You can lessen your faith in you or other people, but not in God. And that's what he's talking about. Move on from those things. Those dead works are also those dead works of the law, okay? Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms. If you circle that word baptisms, maybe some of your Bibles actually says washings. This is not saying move on from the water baptism. It's not talking about that. It's talking moving on from the washings. If you read your Old Testament, the law is constantly, wash yourself before you do this. Wash yourself before you do that. Wash yourself before this happens. In fact, Jesus was asked by the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem. They came to Jesus and they said, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. See the mentality of the religious during those days? They're eating bread, they haven't washed their hands. Because it was always a constant washing, washing, washing. Jesus responds like this and says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? So they had replaced God with the tradition of washing. So when he's talking about here, the doctrine of baptism, it really should be the doctrine of washings. Because they're thinking the physical act of walking through the water or cleansing themselves made themselves holy. That was just an obedience to God. So move on from those things, he's saying. Peter even said it. When Jesus was washing his feet, remember what Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet? He says, if I don't do this, you have no part in me. Jesus says, wash my whole body. I mean, he's like, go for it. No, that's not the heart behind it. The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses you. You hear me? Once and for all, isn't it? Once and for all, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Not some of it, not the stuff in the past, all unrighteousness. So the blood is what washes. Now the laying on of hands, you'd think, what? Laying on of hands, what is this all about? Well, those of you who have been with us in Exodus on Wednesday nights, if we remember the sacrifice in the tabernacle, what happened? They brought the animal before the Lord, and what did the person that was being covered over their sins, what did they have to do? They had to put their hand on the head of the animal as the head animal was killed. They had to lay their hand as if their sin was being transferred to that innocent animal, and as their hands on there, they kill the animal. I would sin less if I had to do that. Right? What, it's like, every week I got to go watch an animal die because of my sin. Wow. So he's saying, move on from that as well. Those things that you're doing, those things that you're transferring, move on from that. Move on from that. Resurrection of the dead. Move on from the resurrection. Notice that he's saying here that the resurrection of the dead should be foundational. Do you know that you've risen from the dead if you believe in Jesus Christ? It's foundational. This isn't something that's future. This isn't something that, no, when you believed and put faith in Jesus Christ, you rose from the dead. Easter of 1993, Rob Taylor raised from the dead because I was a walking dead person without Christ. And the day I gave my life to Christ, I rose from the dead. It's foundational. Foundational. In eternal judgment. Notice verse 3 with me, if you will. And this we will do if God permits. So he's basically saying, hey, we're going to move on from the foundational truths. We're going to grow to maturity. And if God allows it, it'll happen. Wait a minute. That seems strange, doesn't it? If God permits, if you want to circle those roots in your Bible, say, with God's help, we will do it. With God's help. It's not if God. Trust me, God wants you to mature. Trust me, God wants you to grow up. He wants you to get to a place of being a strong Christian who knows the word of God, who's confident in the things of Christ. And he says, these things we will do with God's help. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need God's help. A lot of extra words in there. With God's help. Turn with me to Philippians while you're doing that, before you get it, lose you. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 12. And yes, it's Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3 and 12. We read, here's the Apostle Paul, okay? Mighty man of God. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected or mature, that's the word, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, highlighter's handy, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are, there's that word, mature, have this mind. Have the mind to push forward. have this mind. And if anything, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. You see the power of God in your life? That God will reveal these things to you as you're pushing forward, as you're moving forward, as you're forgetting those things that are behind you, those forgiven sins, those mistakes that you've made, your past, you're forgetting those things. You're moving on. God's going to direct you. Verse 16, and this is it. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Paul's saying, guys, have the mind of Christ. Pressing forward, moving on with God's help. That's what we need. That's how we grow, guys, is by forgetting those things. Are you here today and you're still carrying baggage from your past? You're still being weighed down and held down by some things that have happened in your past. We all have it. We all have those memories. We all, something happens in our life, a circumstance, or we see some on TV or hear some on the radio, and we're reminded of something, and immediately we start to have anxiety. It's at that point we go, God, I have to forgive this again. Forgive me, Lord, that it's back in my mind. It's back to get that place, to move on from maturity. Because you know what happens? If you dwell on it, bitterness will set in. Bitterness will set in, and you'll want revenge. And you'll, if someone does something wrong to you and you hear that they've been harmed or hurt, you're actually going to feel good about it. And that is not the right heart. That is not the right heart. No, we got to grow up. We got to be mature. We got to act like Christ. Because Jesus Christ loves your enemies. Do you hear me? Jesus Christ loves your enemies, and he died for your enemies. Are we to do anything less? It's time to grow up. It's time to move on. It's time to be mature. It's time to put those childish things aside and stop living like the world. Stop living like the world. Second thing, and here's where we get, let's go back to Hebrews, here's where we get into the fun part. So pray for me. Not only are we going to grow up, what I see in this next few verses is we need to stay up. We need to stay up. Grow up and stay up. Look at verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Let's close in prayer. Amen. I'm bringing it. I'm bringing it. What's he talking about? Nobody knows. But what I want to talk to you about is these things that this writer is talking about. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and moves on, if they fall away, to come back to repentance. The first thing I think we need to look at, number one, we need to stay up. We need to grow up. We need to stay up. Stay with the Lord. Because this person, that there are people that he's talking about, have fallen away. How many people do we know that were Christians and one day, and all of a sudden one day they've lost their mind? And now they don't act like a Christian. They don't even believe in a Christian anymore, believe in Christ anymore. I mean, how is that possible? Well, I want to give you some of the, first I want to give you some of the interpretations that are out there. There are many, and I'm only going to give you four. Number one, it says, if you go back into sin, you can't be forgiven. That's one position. No. Okay? God forgives all sin, right? Some believe that this is a hypothetical idea. This is a hypothetical situation because of in verse 6, it says, if they fall away. Okay? If they fall. It's like hypothetically, if you fall away, be careful because you can't come back. Well, the word if is not in the original language. There is no if in Greek. So that's thrown out. This basically should say, having fallen away. In other words, they believed, now they've fallen away. So it's not hypothetical because there's no such word in the Greek. Number three, the third one is that you can lose your salvation. That you can lose your salvation. Listen, and I don't have all the scriptures. We're going to go to some that are going to help us with this. But the Bible is very clear that no one can snatch you out of the hand of God. So you can't lose your salvation because God will hold on to you. It does, the Bible, other areas of the Bible do talk about you leaving your salvation. Okay? Because honestly, I don't know if you're saved. I have no idea if you're saved. So if all of a sudden you leave the church or you leave your Christianity, how do I know you were ever saved in the first place? Because I believe once you're saved, you can't be unsaved. Okay, once you're really saved, and some of you may be in here, think you're saved, but you're not. And we'll talk about that, but why do you think you're saved? Well, I go to church every Sunday. Not a qualification, just to be clear, just to be clear. So you can't lose your salvation. That was number three. Number four, that is talking to non-Christians. Because we see the words here, they were enlightened, okay, which means that they know, but they don't really haven't embraced. They have tasted the heavenly gift. I don't know about you, but when I taste something I don't like, I don't eat it, right? So that's what they're thinking. And have come partakers of the Holy Spirit, which means they've seen what's gone on with the Holy Spirit. They've seen the Holy Spirit in other people's life. And then thirdly, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. So that's why they think that it's maybe talking to non-believers. If you step back and look in the context of this book, he's talking to believers. Why would he all of a sudden just start talking about unbelievers and then come back? Look at verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. See, he's basically saying, this is a danger, but we know that this is not a danger for you. So I do not, again, fourthly, do not believe that he's talking to non-believers. I believe if you've been enlightened by the gospel and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, you're saved. You hear me? You're saved. If this is, he's talking about saved people. He's talking about those who have had a personal encounter with God. So, before we get into this, how do we handle areas of Scripture that are very difficult? How do we handle areas of Scripture where we look and say, wait a minute, because look at verse 4 again. For it is, what does it say? Impossible? Circle the word next to it. You can write the word impossible. In other words, it's not possible. It can't happen. If someone has been enlightened, if they've tasted that God is good, if they've embraced the Holy Spirit, and they leave, it's impossible for them to come back. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But when you come across areas of Scripture that you go, that challenges my theology, that challenges my understanding of God, this is what I want you to do, first thing. Don't spend so much time on what you don't know. And focus your attention on the things you do know. If you read this and you thought, I can lose my salvation, I cannot be forgiven again. Because some people will use this and warn people, careful, if you fall from fellowship, if you backslide, you can't be forgiven again. Can you imagine? Hello. This pulpit would be empty. It's like, no. So what we need to do is back up. And they'll say, what does the rest of the Bible say? And this is why I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, real quickly. I know I want to spend time in communion. Romans 8, we're going to move through a couple verses. Romans 8, verse 1. Still hear pages. Okay, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so we know that. We know that those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. So you can't take Hebrews chapter 6 and put condemnation on someone. No, there's confidence there. Jump down to verse 37, the same chapter. And there's more. You could read this whole chapter and it will give you assurance of your salvation. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor what? Life. I don't know about you, but life happens to all of us, right? We all make mistakes. No matter, so persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, which things may be in your life, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Are you a created thing? Okay. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so this we know. This we know. Romans 10 this time. Romans 10, real quickly. Romans 10 and verse 9. I shared this one on Harvest America last Sunday night. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So when we look at the Bible and the totality of the Bible, we know once we're saved, we're always saved. There is no way anybody's going to snatch us out of God's hands. That's John 10. Yes, John 10 verse 28 says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, we should be worried if salvation was dependent on how much we hold on to God. Wouldn't you agree? But salvation is dependent on how much he holds on to me or you. That's assurance, my friends. God's not going to let you go. No one's going to snatch him out of your hand. So, Hebrews chapter, as we go back, Hebrews chapter 6 cannot be talking about someone losing their salvation. So what is it talking about? My answer? Answer A? I have no idea. Answer B? This is my opinion. I've not seen this anywhere else. There's another one out there that some believe that it's not talking about the root of salvation, it's talking about the fruit of salvation. So the things that produce in your life. I really don't see that. What I see in this verse, honestly, I'm just a logical guy. It says, if you were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, have been partaker in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if you have truly experienced that, and many of us have, haven't we? To know the love of God in Christ Jesus, to know the forgiveness of God in Christ, to know all the benefits of the power of the Holy Spirit that comforts us, that corrects us, that directs, all those things. If you've tasted that and you've experienced that and you decide, I don't want that, I think, honestly, your heart is so hard, you will never be able to repent. Because you've rejected the most amazing thing in the world. Doesn't that make more sense? It makes sense to me. It's like, how? I can understand us doubting a little. I can understand us falling. I can understand us backsliding. I can understand us going through a season where we're just living more in the flesh. But if you've tasted the goodness, and because honestly, that word falling away really talks about being an enemy of God. And if you go from experiencing the love of God to being an enemy of God, I don't think there should be forgiveness for you. If you're a proponent against God, and you're, you know, those people that blaspheme God and try to hurt Christians, I don't know there's forgiveness there. I just, if you fall away from that great gift, you don't want to come back. I just think that person won't come back. So that's my position. If you have a position, talk to me about it. Let's not fight about it. Talk to me about it. The word is impossible, he says here. And, you know, some people might say, well, is that really the word impossible? You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says it is impossible for God to lie. We can't question that. It's impossible for God to lie. So it's impossible for us to come back to a place of repentance if we've turned away. Verses 7 and 8 are basically an illustration explaining this whole thing. Rain falls on the earth. It produces quality herbs. It produces things that are beneficial to people, but it also brings up briars and thorns that are made to burn. Notice the word rejected. Verse 8. But if thorns and briars, it is rejected. That word is rejected is, is disqualified. 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 Don't disqualify. Don't love God. Love the things that he's doing in your life. Pray for those that are struggling with their relationship with God. But honestly, those who have pushed him away and have been proponents to him are very hard to save. Certainly we can't do it. I think God can do anything, but we can't convince anybody to believe if they're that hard-hearted. So, let's grow up. Let's stay up. Let's be confident. Let's be glad this area is over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time in your word. And now as we come into a time of communion, God, I pray for each and everyone here that through this study, we've been motivated, we've been encouraged to keep on keeping on, to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, to not stay in the place that we are today, but desire more of the things of righteousness, to desire more of the things of God, to not argue about the basic things and the basic principles of Christianity, that we move on from those things. God, help us not be those Christians who get our feelings hurt all the time and get frustrated. Let us be those Christians that expect to get our feelings hurt and to be confident that you're going to carry us through. And so I pray not only that we grow up this morning and become mature in our faith, but that we'd be willing to help others stay the course. And so during this time of communion, God, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, minister to our hearts. Reveal to us things that we're holding on to that we need to let go. Reveal to us those positions that we've taken that aren't right. That we would become in right relationship with you. Because this is a time to remember what Jesus has done. Dying on the cross. Rising on the third day. Being seated at the right hand of God. That the blood that Christ shed was enough to cleanse us from our sin. And God, there is sin in our lives. If there's any bitterness we're holding towards a loved one, or a friend, or an ex-friend. For you tell us to love our enemies. So help us today in this time of communion to remember those things, to repent, to rise above the circumstances that happen in each of our lives, and pray that you would reach your hand down and work in our situations and circumstances and make them right. We want to be faithful. Let us do our part. We thank you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.